Welcome to the Successful Athletes Podcast presented by Trainer Road, where we interview successful athletes to make you a faster cyclist. And this week we are joined by Lauren Hackney in Belfast, Ireland. How you doing, Lauren?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for reaching out. You did so at trainerroad.com/SAP, which if you're listening to this now and Trainer Road has helped you achieve some level of success, you can share your story there. And I would love to hear from you just as Lauren did. Lauren, you shared this and you said that the bike leg was absolutely your weakest point. But now you were preparing at this point when you sent it in that you were preparing for an Ironman, and you were struggling to get through 20 Ks on the bike, 20 kilometers, and then going into an Ironman, that's a few more kilometers than 20. it's a huge jump. But I want to first talk about your beginnings in triathlon. How'd you get started in triathlon?
So basically, I've always been sporty, always been competitive, played various sports when I was growing up. You name it, I probably tried it. And then I went to university, and when I qualified at university and started working, I found that I couldn't fit in team sports. So I wanted something competitive that I could try my hand at. So I took to triathlon. I loved swimming, I loved running, and I loved being outdoors. So I decided to do triathlons and endure the bike just to get through a race. And that was sort of about 2015, 2016. I started trying my hand at it and just started with a few sprint races, really.
So you had experience on the run and swim. What was your typical pace that you would run for, like a PR pace for running, to give people an idea?
So at the time, probably my 5K would have been taking about 22 minutes at that time.
Wow.
So my run was not bad. My swim was okay. It wasn't great, but my cycling was just, you know, as I say, just get on the bike and get to the other end.
Sure. What did you struggle with in particular on the bike at this point in your triathlon journey?
Just everything, really. I couldn't figure out why. You know, I was relatively fit, had always trained, and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't cycle. I couldn't get any power, and again, struggled with distance as well. So it didn't make any sense to me, and I wondered what I needed to do to get better at cycling.
Yeah, and this was, and what year was this, around at what time?
Sort of 2015, 16 is when I first started triathlons, yeah.
And then did you continue to do triathlon all the way up until, to these days? Of clearly you're doing it, as we'll talk about, but did you continue to do it even though you struggled with the bike?
Yeah, I sort of did one or two sprint races every summer just as something to do when the weather got better, and as much as I could fit in with work. And then only up until recently when I decided that I wanted to do a bit longer distance. Pre-COVID, I kind of said, well, let's try an Olympic. Maybe I'll go a bit further after that. And then COVID hit, and we'll get into what happened after that.
Yeah. So what is your career? This is probably a good point to bring that up.
Yeah. So I'm actually a doctor. I'm training to be, I've qualified and I'm training to be a surgeon. So I'm sort of halfway through my training for that.
So that huge load, and then in the medical field amidst COVID, I'm sure a huge amount of stress that you had to carry as well.
Absolutely. It's not been easy. And my colleagues will all testament to that. And it's not been easy for anyone, you know, medical or not. But it's been a real journey, for us to get to here, and it's unfortunately still going.
Yeah, no doubt. So this is like this adds a whole lot of complication to the layers in your life that you need to work with in order to still train as well. You know, it's a relatively low priority compared to what you're doing for your career. And then of course the noble cause behind it, to save people. But I feel like everybody, like you said, it hasn't been easy, and different people have reacted in different ways to this. And speaking to the audience here on the podcast, I think a lot of us have reacted in different ways. It was demotivating maybe to have races taken off a calendar, but for some people it was extremely motivating. And for you, you decided amidst all you're directly involved in the fight against COVID. So you have a lot on your plate, but you decided to take on an Ironman, go from these shorter distance races to take on an Ironman. What caused that inflection point?
So absolutely. Everyone reacted differently. I am the sort of person who wants to see something good out of everything bad. So give me a bad situation and I'll try and turn it into something good or find a silver lining. So when we had our first lockdown, I didn't know how I was going to react to that. And I've always used sort of training and sport to get me through work. You know, I always say, if you feel strong in your body, you'll be strong in your mind. And if your body can do something amazing, then, your mind can definitely also match that. So when COVID first hit, I had a long, hard think and thought, how can I turn this into something great? So had a bit of time to think about that. And then I decided, I've always loved triathlon. A dream, an absolute dream, would be to do an Ironman. I didn't think it would be possible. But I thought, you know, with everything we're going through, if I can do that, then it could maybe give some people some hope. And also keep me motivated and keep me mentally strong through a difficult time. And then on top of that, I decided that I would try and raise some money as well for a local charity that helps support mental health and NHS workers. So to try and bring it all together and do something good for other people too.
Wow. What multiple layers of motivation that you had. Was there any reason in particular that you chose to support that charity? Did that mean something to you, whether it was through your work or personally?
Absolutely. I saw a lot of colleagues struggle through this time. A lot of very, very good colleagues who have found it unbelievably tough. And me, myself, you know, it hasn't been easy, but I just wanted to give back. And unfortunately, with the way the health system works here with the NHS, the support is somewhat limited for staff. And so I came across this charity that was doing great work and offering free sort of counselling and support for any NHS worker. And that immediately clicked with me.
Is there, that seems like a really great thing that hopefully we could, more listeners to this could perhaps learn more about at the very least, maybe even support. Is there a spot they can go to support that charity?
Absolutely. The charity is called Duty to Care. And my fundraising page is on a page called Enthuse. I'm sure we can link to it. Yeah. But if people look up Duty to Care, they'll be able to find the charity very easily.
Oh, awesome. It says that it's sport is a metaphor, right? And our competition for things, it really is a metaphor. And it's cool when you have such a direct tie into something that has a profound impact on people. Bravo. Way to go, Lauren, on using that to accomplish something great like that. So
Thank you. You
set this goal amidst the crazy times and against, I assume, really rough schedules too that you were having to deal with. What was your plan to get from struggling with the bike legs to get into the point where you could do an Ironman? Like, how are you going to accomplish that preparation?
I had no idea. and then enter Trainer Road. So essentially, my boyfriend's brother is a pretty good cyclist. We started talking about this massive goal that I had, and he had been a long-term user of Trainer Road. So he recommended it, and he supplied me with the free month trial that you guys offer. And I immediately fell in love with it. It was amazing. Like, everything I'd asked for in terms of structure, it was very simple, very clear, very easy to follow. And so after that free month, I then signed up.
Awesome. What sort of plans did you follow to initially, because the plan was that this race would have happened, I think, earlier. What was your event, actually? That's a good thing to remember.
So I've just completed Challenge Almere, which is full distance triathlon over in the Netherlands.
Was that your original goal or date, or did that shift amidst all the craziness of COVID?
No. So my original date was to do an event in the UK about a month ago. Unfortunately, ironically, due to work and staff shortages, I couldn't get the time off to do that race. So we had to have a plan B. And luckily, I was able to enter Almere, which is one of the big races, you know, one of the big long distance races is over in the Netherlands. And so I was able to get a place on there and raced actually a few days ago on the 12th of September.
Awesome. So what plans did you follow to get ready for that race?
So put into Plan Builder just a long distance triathlon race, and just started working on my bike. you know, as I said before, my swim and my run were okay. I was happy with them. But I really needed Trainer Road to get me some sort of structure and get me to that point. I really was, honestly, I can't tell you how clueless I was about cycling. And so the podcast as well, you know, you guys, the information you put out there, and the, you know, just how scientific and fact-based it was, I just loved it. And it really, really did help me.
Awesome. So let's talk about the struggles. Cause you had gone, like you had called yourself clueless as to cycling. You had enough experience, you know, doing these different triathlons to know of where you were and to know that the bike leg was a relative weakness. So what did you struggle with first going through structured training on the bike?
I think it's really the prolonged distance, you know, keeping going for that length of time of distances. So I was doing my sprint races. It's only 20K. That doesn't seem like much now, but for me, by the end of a 20K cycle, I was done. Mm. So the sweet spot work really helped me a lot with that. So building my power, starting off with short intervals, building those intervals into longer ones. And then eventually then when you went outside and you trained outside, I just saw a massive improvement.
Mm. Yeah. How did you handle like equipment? What did you have beforehand? And then at this point, were you still training on the bike that you had in the previous triathlons, or were you also planning to change that out?
So I started my triathlons on an aluminium frame, something that I commuted to work on, you know, nothing fancy, nothing special. And then about a year ago now, I bought a road bike. So I started this all out probably on that bike that I was talking about earlier, that first bike. And then about a year ago, when I decided to do the Ironman, I thought I'd better upgrade to something a little bit faster. And at that time, when lockdown happened, it was impossible to get a bike. You know, mm-hmm. you nearly couldn't buy a bike if you wanted one. So I luckily was able to find one in a local shop, a Cubagree aero road bike. So it's not a TT or anything like that, but it was a big upgrade from my last bike. And then the podcast helped a lot, and you know, the forums and the blogs and things like that really helped me, because then I also had to buy a trainer.
Yeah.
And where do you start with that? So a lot of reading, a lot of research, and ended up getting a turbo as well, smart turbo. And then I was set up to train hard.
Yeah. And at that point, your starting point, 180 FTP, put you roughly around, forgive me, around 2.8 watts per kilogram, at your starting point, which also that's not bad either. So this is one of those interesting cases where like you could perform well in terms of like where it would be, but that sustained muscular endurance that you needed for those long efforts was the limiter.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you follow through the plans, you're doing sweet spot, you're getting through the plans and doing all of this, but how are you balancing that with work? Because I assume that, as you mentioned before, even you missed that goal event because of the fact that shortage of workers, needing to switch shifts. I'm sure this has been your life now for quite some time. How did you balance, or how did you maintain consistency amidst all of the inconsistency in life?
Absolutely. So my work is tough. I would work between sort of 50 to 100 hours a week, depending on shifts. And then with COVID, with just how the health service is at the minute, staff shortages, you know, you're ending up covering extra shifts unexpectedly. So, you know, it is hard work. I do love my job, but at times it's tough. But honestly, training and sport gets me through work, so I find the time to fit it in. It's very important both for my physical and my mental health to make sure that I get that time to be strong and stay healthy. But what I do is make sure that I'm prepared. Like my other half always says, I always have a bag packed and I always have my stuff ready. So I train usually in the morning. I do my key sessions in the morning, and then if I get out of work on time, or if I'm free in the evening, I can do my next session. And again, Trainer Road really helped me with that, because you've got an hour and a half, 2 hours, dedicated time, jump on the trainer, you go, and that's your training done. You know, it helps instead of having to do big long rides outdoors, you can keep your training succinct, and you can fit it in, you know, and for time-starved athletes, it's amazing.
Did you follow a low, mid or high volume plans?
Low volume.
Yeah. Yeah. And I assume that's all you could fit in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when I first was looking, I kind of toyed with the idea of mid volume. I thought that's what I would want. But again, listen to your podcast, and the advice is to go low volume and, you know, be consistent and make sure you meet all of your training needs, rather than trying to go mid volume and missing sessions. And I found low volume is all I needed, you know, it's all I could fit in, but it got me to where I needed to be.
Yeah. Was it ever different? Did you have to skip sessions because of work or fatigue from work? Because that's you know, even if your schedule didn't necessarily change, I can assume that you'd be really fatigued coming off shifts.
Very occasionally. The plan was so appropriate that I didn't really ever find that I needed to miss them. So I was quite lucky that way. And I'm quite dedicated in that if I've got something that I need to do, I'll fit it in. So luckily, very rarely I would miss a session.
How do you fuel the workout since you were training early in the mornings?
So yeah, I learned that the hard way. I would have previously done a lot of sort of fasted training. And again, the podcast helped me learn that I needed to fuel my sessions. So I'd usually get up, have something sort of 10, 15 minutes before. If it was an hour session, I wouldn't honestly take anything on the bike. But anything over an hour, I'd usually fuel during the session as well. And again, I just sort of followed the guidelines that you guys would set out, and try and initially started at about 30 grams per hour of carbs and push myself up. And eventually for the race, managed to tolerate about 70 grams per hour of carbs.
Great job.
For race day. Yeah.
Particularly in triathlon, that's tough between swim, bike, and run, and how hard that can be. How are you taking those carbohydrates in, through like a drink mix, or was it through gels, or was it through normal food?
So it's a mixture. Training wise, pre-race, I tried to do it as much with whole foods as I possibly could. Just for health reasons. As I got closer to race day, I needed to get a bit more specific, practice what I was going to use on the day. So it was then a combination of drinks mixes, gels, and then food as well.
Did you find it difficult to tolerate any of that fuel on the run in particular? Just because with the run training, it can be so tough.
Yeah, it's harder to get calories in on the run, certainly. I found that I tolerated okay, actually. I stuck with the run mostly to gels and things like sweets that were easy to stomach. But yeah, no, thankfully didn't have any trouble with that.
So your improvements over the whole process, you got up to 241 for your FTP, a massive improvement. You're almost 3.8 watts per kilogram, which is huge. That's a big improvement. But what other benefits did you notice? Because it's not just about FTP. So whether it was on the bike or whether it was running or swimming, what benefits did you notice and improvements after all of this training?
So definitely my muscular endurance. So as we pointed out before, you know, at the end of a 20K cycle, I was struggling and I just did 180K, you know, I just can't believe it. So, you know, I would think nothing now of going out for a 4 or 5 hour ride and enjoying it. And the thing I said when we finished our race and we were coming home, I love cycling now, do you know? And I can't wait to get back out and I can't wait to train again. So it's not just the fact that I've improved my FTP and where I've got, but I've just grown a love for cycling. But definitely in terms of muscular endurance, I think that's the biggest thing I've noticed.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about your race. What is, and the name of the race escapes me, Challenge something.
Challenge Almere.
Challenge Almere.
Or Almere. I'm maybe pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah. We're out of our depth in the Netherlands. Yeah. But Challenge Almere, what is the course like? Is it a standard Ironman distance course, like full distance course? And then what is it like? I assume that it's probably predominantly flat and exposed to a lot of wind.
Yeah. So it's a full distance or Ironman distance. And it's, as you say, flat and windy. So the cycle is... It's great that it's flat, but you've got, it worked out that about half of it was with the wind behind you and half of it was into a headwind. So I actually found the cycle quite tough. You know, it wasn't easy, but it was really enjoyable.
Mm. Yeah. So what's the swim like for the course?
Swim is in a lake, which is lovely. It was two laps of a lake and couldn't have asked for better conditions.
Was it cold, like wetsuit swim that you had to deal with?
So wetsuit optional, and I think one person didn't wear a wetsuit.
Brave.
Pretty much everyone wore a wetsuit, and the temperature was about 20 degrees in the water.
Yeah, okay, cold. What did you do for nutrition leading up to this race? Because I assume you also traveled to the race sometime close beforehand. How did you work out all of that pre-race prep?
So I actually worked right up until the Wednesday before the race, which is the Sunday. Not the best race preparation. And we have been very short in work, so I've been covering extra shifts. But that's part of the reason why I chose to do the race, you know, and part of the reason behind, you know, what the purpose of this was for me. So preparation maybe wasn't as good as it could have been. In terms of that. So I was quite tired from shift work, but tried to dial in my nutrition, tried to sleep as much as I could considering. And then we flew out on the Thursday and I raced on the Sunday. So it was just a case of trying to make sure I was having enough carbs and protein to keep me replenished. And then on race day, we had everything planned to a T. And now most of it went to plan, but there was a few blips.
Yeah. What did you have the morning of for breakfast? That's a common debate for a lot of Ironman triathletes or for a lot of triathletes and just athletes in general. Sometimes you're so nervous before these big days and the intensity is going to be lower that you don't even eat beforehand. You just eat once you're going. I've heard plenty of different approaches.
Yeah. I just did what I'd practiced all along and went with good old porridge, standard oats. But made sure I ate 3 hours before, so I can't really swim on a full stomach. So made sure I was up 3 hours before, had something to eat and a coffee, and then had planned to eat something just about an hour or half an hour before race started, but I was so nervous that my stomach was in knots. So that bit didn't go as planned. I couldn't manage anything, but I knew that I'd had a good breakfast about 3 hours ago. So I was okay for that. And then obviously didn't eat anything on the swim. And then as soon as I got into T1, started to eat and just kept eating as much as I could till I got off the bike.
And you predominantly eat gels during the race on the bike?
Tried to keep gels to a minimum on the bike because I knew I'd need to rely on them on the run. And in terms of tolerating that from my gut, I knew that there would only be a certain amount I would be able to have. So I only had a few gels on the bike, kept it mostly to sort of carb drink, and then things like bars, some bread, different bits and pieces like that, because you know, you get sick of the sweet sugar, so you need something savory. And just tried to tolerate as much as I could. Now, about 4 or 5 hours in, I started to feel very sick and couldn't quite manage as much food as I had planned. But I think I'd had enough in by that point that I knew I was going to be okay.
Mm. How did you carry the nutrition? Were you picking it up at aid stations or carrying it on your bike or person?
Carried it on myself and my bike. So I had a little box on the frame of my bike and then kept some gels in my suit. I practiced with certain brands, so I didn't want to use the race brands because I didn't know how I would tolerate them. So I just used what I'd practiced.
Yeah, so that means that you forewent using the on-hand nutrition, which is like, it just means that you have to make sure that you don't drop your own, right? That's always a gamble that you have to go with. Yeah. So at this point, when you hit that kind of point or 4 or 5 hours into the race, your body started to not take in more nutrition. How did you adjust? Did you actually stop taking something or stop taking food in, or did you switch the type of food you were taking in?
So I just slowed down in terms of how much I was taking. So I had planned in case that I know that I can tolerate a bit more in terms of drinking my calories. So I planned to take a little bit extra in my bottle just in case I needed it. So at that point, I just slowed down on my eating and just sipped at that carb mix because I knew I could at least tolerate that. It would keep me hydrated. And if I just took a little bit of that, you know, more often, then I would probably be okay. And then just stayed away from the whole foods.
So when we get to transition off, or actually, how did the bike go with pacing? That's another key thing. On flat courses, it may seem like, yeah, super easy to pace, but then dealing with wind, it's an entirely different issue.
Yeah. A flat course, people think a flat course is easy, but there's no let up, you know, there's no rest. You know, there's no downhills to take a breathe. So pacing went okay. I sort of averaged about 29, just over 29 kilometers per hour, which I'm quite happy with. That's what I was hoping for. And I tried to pace based on heart rate. So I don't have a power meter yet. So went off heart rate and managed to, I think it went to plan as I had hoped. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it difficult dealing with the gusts? Did you like press through the gusts of wind, or did you let that slow you down and just try to stick to your effort?
No. So when the wind was behind me, I went with it and pushed. And then when I was going into the headwind, I just slowed down, tried to be as aero as possible, but I knew that there was no point in pushing through that wind, and wasting all that effort. So I just took the wind when I could and used it to my advantage if I could. And then in the headwinds, just put my head down and tried as hard as I could.
Were you, did you have extensions on your bike? Cause your bike isn't a TT bike. It's a road bike. Did you use aero bars?
Yeah, I put aero bars on a few months ago. Especially the prior race was, meant to be in the Yorkshire Dales, which would have been hilly, sort of a mountainous area, but, I'm really glad I put the aero bars on because then obviously I ended up going to the Netherlands where wind was the main issue. So I'm glad I had the opportunity to train in that aero position.
Yeah. How'd you get used to that? Did you just instantly start doing all of your training in the aero position? Did you adjust your FTP and do that? Or did you just mix it in or save it for race day?
So no, interestingly, I'm really comfortable in the TT position.
Nice.
I really, yeah. You know, you read and you hear that it's a difficult position to get used to, but I actually really like it. Now, obviously there's some bits getting used to it. And I did make sure that I got a bike fit. And so I got a bike fit initially with my road bike. And then when I decided to put the aero bars on, I went back to the same guy and asked him to fit the TT bars to make sure that I was in the optimal position. And as soon as they were on, I just started training, tried to be in that position as much as possible, obviously taking breaks. But very quickly got used to it and very quickly enjoyed it. And then from then on, did all my training both outside on the road and on the turbo in that TT position.
Right. What about the gusts in the race? Did you pop out of aero for those? That can always, that's super disconcerting a lot of the time when you get a strong, unexpected gust of wind.
Yeah, no, managed to stay pretty strong most of the time.
Wow.
I built up my confidence with that because when I first started training with aero bars, as soon as a gust came, I would have been straight up. But I'd built my confidence just with practice and managed to stay aero pretty much most of the time.
So coming off the bike and into the run, what was your plan for pace to run throughout the race?
So interestingly, I had never ran a marathon distance.
Wow.
So my longest run was probably 21K, a half marathon. And I had injured my knee a couple of months ago. So in terms of training, I was trying to keep the running to a minimum, and just focusing on my cycling, my swimming, and hoping that that would get me to the end of the run. So I wasn't really sure what to expect with the run. So the run course was a 7K lap, and you did six laps. Ooh. My first lap was, I actually really like laps mentally. I think it's, you know, it's easy to compartmentalize that and just say, right, I've got five more, four more, and get through it.
Yeah.
And my first lap was amazing. I was so happy to have completed the bike, and that it went well. And just the high of actually getting onto the run. My first lap was pretty fast compared to what I should have been doing probably. So I was running then about a 5 minute kilometer. And then I sort of realized that I should probably slow down if I wanted to get to the end. So ended up averaging probably 5.5, 6 minute kilometers for the rest of the race. And the run actually went really well. Again, based it on heart rate. So making sure my heart rate sat a certain threshold, and I didn't tip over that. And then I also did what you might have heard of as 9-1 strategy. So run for 9 minutes, walk for one, and try and time those 1 minute walks with your aid stations. And that worked really well.
Yeah, the run walk strategy, I think, is super important, particularly in your cases. You had mentioned that you hadn't run something that long. It'd be so daunting to take it on with a different strategy. That's really smart. So looking back at the event, which you finished, and what was your time, actually? Let's cover that.
So 11 hours, 32 minutes.
Way to go. From going to the, from not long ago, having 20 Ks on the bike being something that was extremely difficult for you, to doing that. Just absolutely astounding. Looking back, what were the things that you feel like you did well leading up to this, and perhaps even on race day? What were the biggest things that helped you the most that you did?
So I would say consistent training. And I know you guys talk about that a lot as well. And it's just being able to consistently turn up to training and getting your training done, is the biggest thing that I believe will allow you to make progress. And for me, I think that's really what got me there. And I know that I wouldn't have been able to do that without Trainer Road and the guidance of that, and having a plan, because I was just sort of clueless and I didn't know where to start. So I think for me, that's the biggest thing, is consistency.
Yeah. What mistakes did you make on race day that you're looking forward to remedying on the next one?
Good question. I'm just looking forward to improving my bike more. I know I've come a long way, but I can't believe what I've done in a year. And I just would be excited to know what another year, another winter on the turbo could do for me. And they say you either do one Ironman and never do another one, but I don't think that's going to be the case for me.
You're going to be hooked. Do you have an event that you want to do? They do them in so many cool locations.
I haven't decided yet. Don't know about that, but again, you can race anywhere, and that's another beautiful thing about it. You know, you get to go to amazing countries and experience different cultures and race with like-minded people.
Yeah. So what did this mean? I assume that it meant quite a lot to you. It means a lot to everybody that finishes such a huge goal like this, but in this case, you're also doing this for a greater purpose as well. Bringing to light the struggles and issues that a lot of, ironically, medical professionals face, that they can't receive that sort of medical attention that they need for it. So what did this, completing this goal, actually mean for you?
It was a dream come true for me. It's nothing that I thought I would ever be able to achieve. And just knowing that you can do something you didn't think you could possibly ever do, just builds a lot of strength, both physically and mentally, for a person. And it meant a lot that, as you say, one of the reasons behind me doing it was to try and support my colleagues. And the initial reason I did it was to try and help deal with what I was going through with COVID and what everyone else was going through. And when it got really hard during the race, that's what I thought of. When it got really hard during my training, that's what I thought of. I thought of all my colleagues that, you know, shift after shift, time after time, they're the strength of our health system. And if I thought, if they can do that, you know, I can do this. And also it took me an 11 and a half hours. Most shifts are 12 hours, you know. So all I could think was someone's sitting there doing a 12-hour shift. And if they can do that, then I have to finish this. So.
Wow. What great motivation. Lauren, thank you so much for doing this and for sharing your story. It's inspiring to know somebody that's carrying such a heavy load that still carved the time necessary to be able to do this. That's inspiring for me. It makes me motivated to be even more diligent with my time and certainly to find greater purposes that I can fulfill with this metaphor that is sport. So congrats. I'm excited to see how your next one goes. Keep us posted. It'll be fun to hear. Maybe next time you'll be chopping even more time off your bike split, which is exciting. So if anybody wants to get in touch with you, is there a good way that they can do that?
So yeah, I'm on Instagram. My handle is lhackney1. I'm on Facebook as well, but I use that less. But yeah, probably that Instagram's the best place. Probably reach out to me.
Awesome.
And then again, obviously the charity called Duty to Care. And if anyone feels that they need support and want to reach out, now I know obviously I'm based in the UK, and hopefully there's, some charities elsewhere, you know, with you guys over there and in other countries. But if you're based in the UK and you need to reach out, these guys are amazing and they will provide you with support for free. So please do that and don't sit at home and not be supported.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Lauren. Appreciate that. If you're listening to this and you want to share your story about how Trainer Road has helped you achieve some level of success, please do so. trainerroad.com/SAP. It doesn't have to be an Ironman. It can be anything that you've done, no matter what it is. And we're eager to hear it. So we'll talk to you all next time. And Lauren, thanks a bunch.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely.